Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Türk Telekom 2010 First Quarter Financial and Operational Results Conference Call. Türk Telekom senior management, chaired by Dr. Paul Doğan, CEO, will present the Q1 2010 financial and operational results. The presentation will be followed by a question and answer session. Just to remind you all, this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Türk Telekom Investor Relations Director, Mr. Abdullah Kaya. Please go ahead with your meeting, sir.
Thank you, Anna. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Türk Telekom's conference call to discuss 2010 first quarter financial and operational results. This is Abdullah Kaya, Head of IR. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains financial information that is reported under CNB and is unaudited. With that, let me leave the floor to Dr. Paul Doğan, CEO of Türk Telekom.
Thanks, Abdullah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're taking the call today from Ankara, where the management team is gathered today, and we have some people calling in from Istanbul, but all questions will be answered from the ones who are present here in Ankara. I'm actually on slide five. Obviously, we're very happy with where the market is currently and the overall economic background of the situation here in Turkey. For this first quarter, we're very pleased with our 3% revenue increase, our net income increase of 88%, and our 41% EBITDA margin. Also very pleased with the increase of minutes of use on fixed and the lower net decline on fixed voice subscribers, and we have seen that trend continue. In fact, we started a pre-rebalancing exercise in the first quarter as our new tariffs came in March, in fact, early March. The value of those, of course, didn't come through as much, and we will see much better results, actually, we believe, in the second quarter, where we basically pushed the free calls up to 3,000 minutes from 7:00 P.M. to 7:00 A.M., and also heavily discounted mobile calls, which we obviously dropped to the rate of 6.5 kuruş. The regulator compelled us to increase that price a little bit before the rates came down, which we did. Of course, now we are in the new era of the new rates in the market. We also showed that despite 2009 on ADSL growth was a year of upselling for us, and we gave way to the competition to try to do something, and we obviously acknowledged that that wasn't an easy economic year. We're also very pleased that with ADSL, we're showing now good growth in the first quarter. We also launched our web TV service, which is called TV Bu, which means this is television, which has reached 150,000 subscribers in just under 2 months, which is also a milestone for us. Also, obviously, we're very pleased with the EBITDA margin improvement in the mobile, which begins to show that at least the market is beginning to move into a better place. In relation to the dividend distribution, the General Assembly has approved the number of 1,590 million lira cash dividend for 2009. I'm moving on to six now. In summary, on the market update, now obviously we're all aware of the mobile termination rate cuts in fixed and mobile. 17% for us on double tandem, given the fact that we have actually lost a lot of minutes, so the computation of our cost is clearly a number that is increasing. Whereas on mobile, with the flow of the endless free minutes in 2009, it's also obvious that the price per minute would be dropping, which is again something that we had spoken to last year and the importance of rebalancing of prices in mobile. On GSM to GSM, Off-net in particular, more important than the On-net cap, 38% reduction, which is also a very important regulatory instrument that allows Avaya and Vodafone to be able to break the wall that the incumbent fixed mobile operator rather has built around their customer base by actually making it extremely expensive to call other networks and obviously unduly cheap to make On-net calls. Again, that speaks to the rebalancing that we have been preaching for some time. In relation to the change of pricing from counters to a currency unit price per minute, which started April the 1st for the prepaid, of course, we have seen now some change in the mobile market there. increase in the average minutes of use that I mentioned earlier on. We're also very pleased with the increase in the unlimited fixed internet packages. And again, data usage continues to increase. We now exceeded the 11 giga per line per month, which is a very, very healthy number. And of course, the ADSL growth in itself, 200,000 net subs added in the first quarter. And we also haven't seen any significant 3G bundle take-up in the market. So that should also clarify the how we see the market, which basically is that the mobile broadband or the mobile 3G data service is fundamentally a complementary service. I'm on page 7 now. So obviously you have seen these numbers already from our release. So I will not spend any time on this chart. And I'll move straight to page 9. And here I'd like to talk a little bit about voice and about our convergence offerings. Now, we have succeeded in stimulating the minutes of use after a very difficult year, 2009, obviously a mobile price war, which accelerated the fixed mobile substitution, which we still believe was an important price to be paid both by Türk Telekom in terms of the price we paid on loss of lines, minutes, and revenue, and also Avaya by losing its margin, because what that did, it basically broke that wall that I was discussing. And this provides the opportunity, frankly, for more fair competition in the mobile space. And it also provides an opportunity for Turkcell to rebalance their tariffs. So this is not necessarily something that is designed to hurt anyone, but rather it provides opportunity for all players in the market to get a fair share of all the important numbers here, which of course includes EBITDA margin. Currently, 95 or even maybe perhaps higher percentage of that EBITDA of market share is actually enjoyed by one operator, despite the heavy investments made by the two other mobile players in the market. The bundle of Jetfel tariffs has been changed now, the name, into Home Advantage. And this started in March, which basically is around very attractive calls to mobile that are charged on a per-minute basis of 6.5 kurush, all taxes included, and also provides for unlimited, with fair usage of 3,000 minutes, of 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Calls basically provided to all of our customers. The fact that we started this campaign of giving away these minutes, and as you would know, this is the year that we have more freedom to make campaigns of this kind, as exactly a year ago when we launched Jetvel, it was a very hard negotiation with the regulator to allow us to introduce an additional 100 minutes in Jetvel, which frankly, seeing what the mobile operators did then up to their prices, is clearly a very unfair competition between fixed and mobile. So this is the year that we are able now to have a level playing field competition against mobile, and this puts us in a much better position to stabilize our performance going forward. So what we did is the standard tariff, fixed fee, has been increased, and the Hesapla, which is the economical package, which now we changed to the name Classique, which obviously means classical, and hopefully in time there will be more classical users in the market. The tariffs have been revived, so therefore the value of this will show more in the second quarter, as I mentioned earlier, because we were not actually able to do the rebalancing launch ahead of our campaigns. We had to launch the campaigns first and then, of course, introduce the fixed fee adjustments. The results of these has been very successful. I mean, we've only seen, of course, literally a month of that in the first quarter, perhaps even under a month in relation to the March share of the revenue. We believe that second quarter will show better results on that. We also have seen an increased share of fixed fee in our revenue, which, of course, is a very important metric for us. And 20% of the total number of lines are now in our bundle packages. And, of course, we're going to be working on increasing that percentage. So more and more customers will be switched into the high-end bundle. By high-end, I'm talking above the classic and standard. Of course, I'm not talking about above that, because obviously we do have higher bundles for more minutes during the daytime. And what is also interesting is that we didn't see any decline in the usage during the peak periods, which is a healthy sign for us. despite the gives during the off-peak of 7 to 7. The Wirephone VoIP-based service is now over 150,000 subscribers, and we will be adding additional features to the service. Firstly, we are going to obviously introduce the BlackBerry. We finally managed to test and get approval from BlackBerry for our service. As you know, this already is working on iPhone, Nokia ENN series, and other devices. And more phones will be able to provide the service, plus new features, which includes, obviously, a video call, which can be quite nice for persons who are roaming, and instant messaging, which, again, provides for flexibility and lower cost of messaging charges while roaming, but also domestically in the market. We are pushing for a converged experience for our customers so they can use their mobile devices regardless of who is their mobile service provider and basically charge all of this traffic onto their fixed line at very attractive rates. The virtual fixed number service has been launched for Turkish communities who are living outside the country. On page 10, on the ADSL side, the net NET packages, which goes for speeds up to 8 meg, which of course is the minimum that we're selling into the market. The number of subscribers now is over 52% of the total customer base. So the upsell campaign has been very successful and now continues. TV Boo, the web TV service that I mentioned earlier, has been launched, and we're very pleased with the number of customers that we have. We will be introducing additional content, especially a very important film channel, both a running channel and a video on demand, very, very attractively priced film offering, because digital prices are actually quite expensive. So this provides for good value, secondary viewing in a home, and providing, of course, for people the flexibility of the catch-up, the stop, and the video-on-demand feature, what you want, when you want. And, of course, music video, extremely important, and other types of content like documentaries and so on. In relation to our Wi-Fi hotspot of 7,200, and this number will continue, we'll continue to invest in this, because, again, we believe that Wi-Fi is a lower cost option for customers to be able to access broadband service when they are out of the home and the office, and they can do so using mobile devices and also using computer devices. On page 11, now here we're showing the fixed line, and again we see the slight revenue decline there, and obviously the EBITDA there as well, and you've all seen these numbers. The EBITDA margin is still over 50% on the fixed line side, and the ADSL growth, of course, compensated the decline that we have seen. On page 12, looking at the ADSL PSTN highlights, 6.4 million now wholesale ADSL connections, and an ARPU, average revenue per line, now of 31.8, so very, very pleased with this number. On the number of access lines, again, we see a net of only 100,000 in the quarter, which again is a milestone for us, noting what I indicated earlier, that in the first quarter, the special campaigns that we offered actually applied for only 6 weeks of that period. So obviously, we expect to see a stabilization of this trend going forward, which gives us a lot more confidence on stabilizing our position in relation to our fixed revenue and margin, obviously. PSC and ARPU decline. And again, these numbers are not surprising to any of you. On page 13, it's basically the headcount. Given the C1, what we call contract one, or the government status employees, decreased by 1,454 in the first quarter, provided now a number of employees just below 27,000 in the fixed standalone. And what is important about this number is that this includes 6,000, just over 6,000 new people in this company whose average age is about 26, 27 years old, and these are actually quite high achievers in relation to the recruitment metrics that we undertook in relation to the last 2,000, for example. I probably mentioned earlier that we had 150,000 applicants, 15,000 were evaluated, and 2,000 were actually recruited. We believe that by the end of the year, the number is going to be 30% of the fixed standalone employees in this company are going to be young people. And that is basically the strongest transformation enabler, we believe, in a fixed line company of this kind, which puts us in a very strong benchmark in relation to other fixed operators who obviously have a lot of challenges in that area. This is a very big success for the company. In relation to the personnel cost as percentage of revenue, we are beginning obviously to come down to better levels. Some of you who have been tracking our numbers earlier would have remembered that this number was in the mid-20s and it's coming down nicely despite the fact that our revenue is coming down and the number of lines is coming down. The number of exercise per employee now is 610, so we believe that this is a great result for us. On the mobile side, I'd like to hand over to the CEO of Areya, Erkan Akdemir. Sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Page 15. Let's give the update about the market first. After a very challenging 2009, in the year the sector had a difficult start. We estimate that the overall market has continued to shrink in terms of the SIMs, mostly due to the consolidation of the SIMs. Primary drivers of this market decline are the first, successful MNP implementation; second, advantages of all direction offers which eliminate the need for the double SIM holding. This trend also accelerates the pre-to-post migration. As you will see in the coming slides, we are experiencing an increase in postpaid. In the meantime, we continue to strengthen our platforms, namely all direction family, public institutions, youth offer, as well as football clubs and other revenue sharing deals. Overall, we are approaching the 2010 as the recovery year. We are still building the platform for the profitable growth. Slide 16. Our revenues are 22% higher than a year ago and almost stable versus last quarter. Although there was a decline in the number of subscribers, we are increasingly focusing on postpaid customers, which deliver higher ARPU levels, and therefore we managed to hold on to our revenues. On the EBITDA, we are at 6%, which is an improvement versus last quarter, but below where I would like to be. The driver of this EBITDA improvement primarily is the OPEX savings coming from the reduction in the off-net needs as well as savings in the network OPEX. Next slide. Our postpaid ARPU is significantly higher than a year ago, thanks to all direction offers, and the ARPU level is now stabilizing. Prepaid ARPU is similarly higher than a year ago. It is the incoming traffic which pushed the ARPU upwards in the last 12 months. The last slide, 18. We continue our subscriber growth in postpaid in line with overall market trends. As the prepaid market is shrinking, we are also losing subscribers. It is our challenge to reduce the prepaid churn to acceptable levels. MOU growth now under control. It's a result changing mix in the all direction portfolio.
Okay, now if we go to financials, this is Dave Cook here. If we go to slide 20, what you see there is the consolidated. So we'll do like we've done before, consolidated, fixed and mobile. So on the consolidated, you heard from Paul earlier, we're talking about 3% revenue growth year on year with a slight decline in the EBITDA margin, although it's the same as the average of 2009. If you remember, our target for this year is to be around 40, low 40%. So Q1 started off in the range we said we would be. I think the key point is the net income, or profit as it's shown on this slide, if you compare to last year. And that's mainly because last year we took some very significant exchange losses because there was a big movement in the dollar last year. The other thing you'll notice, though, is the interest income expense is actually improved. So that's not FX. And that's a lot to do with the fact we have moved into these lower interest rate level loans, which is helping to bring down the interest expense level. If I move on to the next slide, slide 21 on the balance sheet. As usual, there's not a lot to say on the balance sheet because it's all fairly stable. You'll notice year on year the debt's increased, the net debt position, and that's mainly because last year we had to invest in the 3G license on the mobile side for about €500 million, and that's more or less the movement in the debt position. The overall tangible assets slightly increased because we've been investing more than with our current depreciation rates. If you look at slide 22 in terms of cash flow, what you'll notice is Q1 this year and Q1 last year, very similar. The business itself is still generating about half a billion lira in the first year, in the first quarter, should I say. But you'll notice for the full year, last year it was 1.2 billion. And it's normal, this, for us, that we have a low capex for Q1. Capex will be picking up. We guided that our capex this year should be similar to last year, excluding, obviously, the 3G license. If we now go forward to look at the fixed line business on slide 23, as Paul mentioned earlier, revenue slightly down. We'll see on the next slide why. EBITDA slightly down in total, but still over 50%, so it's still a very strong EBITDA position. And CapEx, very low, 7% of revenue. We've been saying even medium term, we're guiding 10 to 12%. So you can see that's not a normal trend. It will be a lot higher than that by year end. If we go to slide 24, now we look at the revenue on the fixed line. And here you can see the cause of the revenue decline. It's the fixed voice, down 15% year on year, Q1 compared to Q1. And the good thing here to note is it's not good that fixed voice is declining 15%, but what it now means is fixed voice is only 51% of the total fixed line business, whereas ADSL is now 30%. So you see a movement now away from the fixed voice, which is the problem to get growth there. Telcos around the whole world are seeing voice declines. So the lower that is as a percentage, the better potential is for the business to grow. And you'll notice that the other business lines in total, they were around 17% of this fixed line. They're now grown to 19%. So we're now moving further and further away from fixed voice into growth areas. If you look at the OPEX on the next slide, slide 25 on the fixed line, again, what you'll start to see here is stability in the OPEX, personnel costs down year on year, despite price inflation, wage inflation, we've got those costs down. Interconnect cost is down because of the MTR cut last year. This still doesn't have the MTR cut of this year because that comes in of 1st of April. The big cost increase you'll see here is on commercial. But why? Is that bad news? Not really, because what we've been doing in Q1 is spending money to support the new fixed voice tariff, to support the campaigns we've been doing in Q1, and also to support the ADSL growth and the upsell. So there are things we see that we need to spend now as an opportunity to generate growth in ADSL and stop the decline on PSTN access lines. And you can see from the numbers that Paul quoted earlier, we've almost cut by more than half the run rate on fixed asset, on the access lines of fixed voice, and we've continued the growth of ADSL subscribers while still maintaining ADSL ARPU growth. If we look at now at the mobile business, we see a slightly different story. We see good growth, whereas on the fixed line, we didn't see any growth on the revenue. On the EBITDA, we see some decline like we saw on the fixed line, but we're now seeing EBITDA back to the Q1 09 levels. Now, it's not that Q1 09 is the target. Clearly, Q3 08 is the first target for us, and then we go beyond that. But it's good to see that already in Q1, we're seeing the coming back of mobile margins. And as Erkan said earlier, the Q1 was driven from the OPEX side. And what we'll see now in Q2 is what happens on the commercial side with the MTR and the cap cuts and the recent price increases that have been going through across all mobile operators. Overall losses are up mainly because of the extra expenditure we had last year on 3G and the costs coming through in depreciation. CapEx is again very low. If we go to the next slide, slide 27 on OPEX, OPEX is up year on year. This has been the statement now since Q2 09, mainly driven by interconnect. So interconnect costs have been very high since Q2 09, but as Erkan said earlier, they're starting to get more under control as we control some of the postpaid offers. But when we come into Q2, we'll see a big change there with the MTR cuts of 52%. That's going to have a significant impact on that line. And so what we'll start to see is maybe almost certainly year-on-year OPEX declines on the mobile side. The other line's fairly okay. The others, we had it last time. A lot of this is driven by utility costs, site rentals, because as all mobile operators have invested in 3G, there's extra base station, extra cost. And behind the 3G investment is lease line costs. And that's what's driving the other. The tax line is increased because of the Treasury share, which is 15% of revenue. So as your revenue grows, your taxes go up in line. That's the main thing on the three business areas. But if you look at the debt profile on slide 28, what you can see is what we mentioned earlier about the interest rates. What we see now is that at the end of March, only 4% of our debt is in lira. 96% of our debt is now in foreign currencies. And what you'll notice is we're now 60% dollar, 40% euro. And we've said our target is to have a 50-50 split between euro dollar in terms of long-term debt. Now, when we come to the Q2 debt profile, it won't look like this because we will have paid the dividend, as Paul mentioned earlier, of 1.6 billion lira, and all that will be covered by lira debt because it's short term. So what we'll see is a pickup in the lira debt end of Q2, and then that will be paid down during the year. But we're starting now to move towards that US dollar, euro split. And you can see at the bottom the last three deals we did this year. So at the end of last year, we did the $600 million club deal. What you can see now is we've done a couple of bilaterals, more or less a $600 million between the two of them, and we've just signed, or we just signed this week, an agreement with the EIB, official signing of it, which is a very important facility for us, and I think we've mentioned to some of you why it's important. The reason it's important is because it's long-term money, but it's not purely fixed to capital expenditure, unlike ECAs. So it's a more flexible type of borrowing. Obviously, the rate's very good from EIB, as it is from all ECAs. But the good news is it isn't fixed to CapEx, but it is long-term. 8 years is definitely a long-term debt position. So I'll now hand over to Abdullah.
Moderator, now we can take the questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Please press the hash or pound key to cancel your question. So once again, that's star one to register your question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Maddie Singh. Please go ahead with your question, announcing company name and location.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from Morgan Stanley, Dubai. I have two questions. First question is on have you been seeing any shift in the on-net, off-net traffic? And if you could tell us the current level of on-net and off-net traffic as well. And second question is on the civil servants in the company. Can you tell us what is the target level for 2010? Thank you.
On the second question, obviously, we don't generally provide any guidance or answers on sensitive HR matters, but on the matter of civil servants, we did indicate earlier that the five-year right of extension of a civil servant, actually in this company we don't have civil servants, but we have people who have the right to go back to the government and therefore preserve their civil servant status, but they don't have that right beyond 5 years. And that right, of course, is nearing its end basically by the end of this year. And then these people will have to therefore lose that status of right of return, meaning obviously they could be fired at any time on non-performance, so they would lose job security. I mean, any of us here in this room doesn't perform gets fired, so that's the reality of life. So we will not have any more such people in the company. I can't give you a guidance on number, but what's important directionally is that this company won't have any civil servants left by the early part of next year. Our target fundamentally is to have this done in the course of this year, just to be away from the actual deadline. I mean, working close to a deadline is not healthy. Also, you may be aware, I mean, since you asked the question, is that the employee has a right to provide notice and return to the government at any time during the five-year period, providing the three-month notice and leaving. And the company has the same rights. So it's not a question that people are obliged to serve that five-year sentence if ultimately they wanted to leave the company. And similarly,
on the company side.
That's the answer to that question. On the on-net, off-net question...
Just on this, can you tell us what is the current level of such employees?
It's about 1,800 at the end of Q1.
1,800 now.
Oh, okay, thank you.
In terms of your off-net, on-net question, it hasn't really changed much from Q4. it's still around about the 30% of traffic is off-net. The other two operators we would expect are slightly lower than that, but we'll find out when BTK make their official declaration in the near future.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Lezek Iwasko. Please go ahead with your question, announcing company name and location.
Lezek Iwasko, ABC Securities from Warsaw. The question on the slide is of your new.
I'm sorry, we can't hear at all.
Is it better now? Is it better now? Hello?
Yes. Yes, a bit better. No, I'm sorry, it's very poor. You must be on a mobile. In the UK.
If you can't hear me, then I just quit.
Maybe you can just dial again, if you don't mind, please. Maybe we can have an extra one.
And the next question comes from the line of Alexander Balakhinin. Please go ahead with a question, announcing company name and location.
Yeah, hi. That's Alexander Balakhinin from Goldman Sachs. I have two questions, actually. The first one is on your PSTN tariff increase, which was announced. What sensitivity of your subscriber base do you see to the tariff increase? Basically, do you see that people disconnect when you increase your tariffs, or you still see that the disconnection process is sort of stable and is not driven by the pricing of your tariff options? And my second question is on the competitive dynamics on the mobile market after the decline of the mobile termination rate on April 1st. Do you see that basically the competitive dynamics has changed, and how you play in this situation, how your competitors respond, and whether you find it easier or more difficult to compete? Thank you.
Hello, good evening. This is Erem Demircan, VP of Marketing of Türk Telekom. Just to give you information about PSTN. Actually, as our CEO Paul Duane explained, this rebalancing was done actually starting from Q4 of 2009 and finished in March 2010. And as you correctly said, the fees were increased, and actually we were offering free minutes, as explained by Paul Duane. And we have seen during this period the churn rates decreased by 20%. And net decrease in the PSTN lines decreased by 50%. So that shows that actually people start using more PSTN, and the offers were creating value to the customers.
In terms of the mobile dynamics, I think, as you know, we're still in mid-May. 1st of April, there were some changes. I think everybody's aware of lots of changes. There's been lots of talk in the press here in Turkey about them, with some prices going up, some prices going down, a whole mixture. There wasn't a huge differential between the three operators in how they reacted. Obviously, they all did it in different ways, but there was no significant difference. So I think we can say overall, there's not been a material change in the market dynamic since 1st of April. So we've not seen a major dynamic change. I think what we've seen probably overall is a slight pushing up of the prepaid prices in general. Across all three operators, and we'll have to see what the impact will be, because clearly on the fixed line, as we've said earlier, with the new offers, the EverVantage or Home Advantage offers, they're coming in with some very attractive rates to GSM, and that's also putting a lot of pressure onto the GSM market. So we'll have to see how it goes, and soon we'll see the announcements from Vodafone and Turkcell to see what's happened on the customers, on the revenue. And only when we've seen all three will be able to see exactly what's happened in the overall mobile market.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dalibor Babaruski. Please go ahead with the question, announcing company name and location.
Well, hello, this is Dalibor Babaruska from ING. Just two quick questions, if I may. In terms of mobile regulation, I mean, as it was presented before, basically the wall is falling and you're kind of getting the fairer regulation that you would like to. Can I ask whether you have any plans to that you can maybe talk about or hint about? How are you actually going to take advantage of this? Do you think this is just going to be a continued process of perhaps the smaller mobile operators gaining market share, or do you envisage any scenarios that something dramatic might happen maybe this year on the basis of the new regulation? And the second question is maybe more general question. I mean, you know, you obviously have the good trends in the fixed line market, but I know that you are also talking about convergence. So I wonder, you know, what sort of time frame you're envisaging this convergence, what sort of conditions you need for that to happen, and how do you think the regulator will perceive it? Thank you.
Okay, I mean, on the convergence question, in fact, as you know, we already launched our first Viro product. The Viro product is a product whereby a customer can use a computer or a mobile device, and obviously we are more interested in the mobile device because that gives the flexibility to the user to carry that device around and make these calls from Wi-Fi hotspots to obviously the iPad. And this is open to any mobile customer in Turkey. This is not something that is designed to work with Avaya or Vodafone or Turkcell, right? And domestically, the Wirophone is basically the similar product to the Wiro, which allows the customer that convenience, which basically is to make, if obviously they have an advantage in making such a call, is to use a mobile device to make a call that would basically be a fixed line call. And given the low prices, and obviously this is what we were targeting anyway, this is why this product was launched last year, is that ultimately we were targeting to heavily discount the calls from fixed to mobile, because we saw that the market was directionally going there. We didn't know when it will reach there. It reached sooner than we expected, but you know, the reality is that more minutes are being dumped into the market by mobile. Termination rates are going to come down. We see that from EU and so on. So directionally, that is the way we saw it. From fixed, we need to be able to discount calls to mobile heavily first, and second, enable the customer to make such call using their mobile devices, wherever they are, obviously within Wi-Fi coverage. Now, that is a converged product which is already in the market. We envisage increasing the levels of services that we provide to customers, and obviously providing more devices that are capable of carrying this product, because we obviously download the client onto these devices. And I mentioned earlier that we're very happy that we managed to get approval with BlackBerry launch of the service, which is a very few number of similar products running on BlackBerry, as you know. So we're very pleased with this development, and you know, we see this development actually going on, because what's interesting is that it's the high-end customers, interestingly, are the ones who enjoy using these types of products. I mean, that's the research, iPhone users, BlackBerry users, and the high-end Nokia ENN series users. And obviously, we launched this thing with LG cheaper phones, and we will be selling more phones in the market that are actually pre-equipped with the wireless phone. And that is one form of convergence that obviously we have launched and will be continuing to grow in the market, as the value of fixed is actually real, which this year it is. I mean, last year, obviously, we had to make it only on the wire phone, whereas now it's the same whether you're on the wire phone or you just pick up your home line and use it. So that's a very important, if you like, approach for us. The second form of convergence is obviously moving into the entertainment area. And we like the web TV because we believe that most services are going to be ultimately over the internet. I mean, all of us have been hearing these things for many years, but it looks like finally this is now happening, and it's happening at a very, very low cost. And that's the area that we are investing in. So we're moving in this direction, and we see a big advantage in relation to entertainment, which, again, you can carry around with you wherever you are, and ultimately this can also be on a mobile device. The third one is about, and I think we mentioned this earlier, is about launching an MVNO, as we have done with the football club, because we obviously believe that the football club MVNOs provide for a certain customer association with a certain brand. And once the mobile price war began to ease, we were confident that these would be successful offerings at, you know, lower churn than normal. And we will be launching similar type of pre-MVNO or MVNO, as the MVNO now is in place, except for the double taxation, which will be resolved shortly, is to actually launch a mobile service by TTNet. And what this will do, basically, is will allow TTNet to be able to offer certain value to its customers, again, within the framework of the MVNO regulations, licenses, or a pre-MVNO deal, as we have done with the football clubs. So there's a benchmark in the market in relation to how this works, which basically is a branded service. So when we say convergence, I don't want people to get the impression that we're sitting here as rocket scientists and designing, you know, complicated things. We have simple products that have been developed by the group companies, and they're working well, and we will be obviously improving gradually how this thing will be moving over time. So that, for us, is what convergence is. It's what we can sell into the market with convenience and good price to the customer, call it convergence or call it anything. On the mobile regulation side, I mean, I think the reality of the mobile regulation side is that in a market where the incumbent operator will rebalance their tariffs, as we had repeatedly been saying, would ultimately be in their best interest. Whether they're being pushed to do it or not becomes a regulatory question, and whether they should comply with regulations or not is a matter that their management needs to face up to and live with the consequences of non-compliance. But the reality of where we are is that the mobile market is a market where, if the walls are broken, all that allows for is more fair competition. So what is more fair competition? More fair competition means that companies like Vodafone and Avaya, who have invested billions of dollars, will be able to begin to make profits. I think the test, when we speak to the regulator about it, we say that the minute they start making real profit, whatever that profit is, let's call it the first million lira of profit, that means that after all these years of heavy investments of billions and billions of dollars, okay, they can begin to recover some of that sweat and hard cash invested in the company. So that is the ultimate test in relation to the market. This is not something that can be compared with fixed line regulation, which, as you all know, fixed line regulation, which fundamentally relies on service-based competition, is a model that really hasn't worked all that well, and now the market is moving away from that anyway. So the market is now fundamentally mobile in Turkey. More than 80, whatever, 2, 3, 4, 5%, whatever the number is now, and that number is changing, that 80-plus percent of the total minutes in the market are, in the end, mobile. So the market of Turkey is fundamentally on voice, it's a mobile market. So from the angle of fair competition, the only thing that now the mobile players need, frankly, is more rational behavior as opposed to more irrational behavior. And by rational behavior, we mean that the incumbent first operator will be focusing on their revenue and focusing on their margin and focusing on their net income and no other metric. And, you know, once they do that, ultimately it will be self-adjusted in the market because, you know, there's no way that anybody can challenge Turkcell, you know, to the point of winning. I mean, that's the reality of what the market is. So rationality obviously requires all players to be rational. And I think the expectation here is that Turkcell will be moving in that direction because we believe that their results will be forcing them to do that. Avaya already has shown that, you know, what happened last year was a necessary price to pay, as I indicated. In the end, we paid the price, so we're not blaming anybody here. We actually paid the price. That this is the year to reap the rewards, actually, of this investment that we made last year. And Vodafone will be a later, maybe a slightly later catch-up in the market. But, you know, be aware that Vodafone, in the end, did not really play the market as smart as Avaya did, because Avaya hit the market with something that gave it value. So when they increase their revenue, even though they're both roughly about the same revenue, they actually have real customers for that, whereas Vodafone were ultimately taking the windfall of all this incoming revenue from termination that we were paying them, and obviously threw that back into the market with free MNP prepaid, which obviously is a very low loyalty customer who takes anything you give away free, and they're basically shopping around for 3 minutes. So they will obviously, from the MTR cuts, face a certain decline in their revenue, which will not be fully mirrored by a cost saving, whereas Avaya was a smarter player in the market in that sense. But in the end, frankly, there's no point in saying two and three are both in very bad shape, and they will both become better shape. You know, none of them can beat the other. Either they'll both do well or they will both do badly. That's how we see the mobile market. We think it's moving in the right direction, and we're confident that, you know, you will begin to see good signs of it, and perhaps you can ask us that question in the upcoming call.
Okay, so thank you very much. This is very useful. Can I just ask a very quick follow-up question?
Absolutely.
I just wondering, in terms of the Wirephone product, how much do you envisage that out of the total mobile minutes you think that this can capture, or this or similar product, say, in a year or 2 years' time?
Actually, this is a very smart question that you know exactly that you're not going to get an answer to it. But, you know, what is important about understanding convergence? Convergence for us isn't really about how many Wirephone customers will be using the service, actually. Convergence for us is about establishing Fixed as a mobile player in the market to get a fair share of minutes, because in the end we're losing too much minutes. So it's about offering convenience to customers, whether they use Wirephone from a computer. For example, Wirephone over TV Boo, you're watching something on TV Boo and then you're on the computer already, so you can make a VoIP call straight to your friend and discuss what you're watching. We're doing that with our football game. So, you know, it's about doing all of these things. And frankly, how many minutes will come over that? The important metric is that these minutes come at a very low cost. And that, I think, is the important thing for you. Since this is coming at low cost, you know, this is fundamentally what we give away to be able to provide customers with value.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Anna Bosong. Please go ahead with your question, announcing company name and location. Anna Bosong, your line is now open.
Sorry, I'm having mute on. Sorry, Anna Bosong, UniCredit. My first question is concerning your leased line revenues in the fixed line slide, which dropped 7% year on year. Obviously, with 3G growing, I'd hope to see that as a positive trend. I wonder if you can shed some light on that. And secondly, on the web TV, if you can just explain a little bit about the model there, how you're monetizing that, and basically, for example, your 150,000 subscribers, what you're actually charging them, and how you plan to, boost ARPU in that area. Thanks.
Okay, in terms of lease line, if you recall last time what we said was we were looking at doing some agreements with the major mobile operators, the Vodafone, Bayer, and Turkcell, and giving them big discounts, around 25 to 30% discounts, depending on how many years commitment they gave us and what volume of traffic they gave us. And what we've done is we've signed in March, April, we've just signed with Vodafone and Bayer. We haven't yet signed Turkcell. And what that's meant is we've had to discount those lease line prices. So we've seen a slight dip in the revenue because of that. But what it does mean is we're now guaranteeing those volumes for the next few years, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And that's the important thing. So we're creating that stability. You're right. You're saying Q4, a pickup in lease line revenues with the volumes basically from the 3G. What we'll start to see going forward is, assuming mobile is successful, they'll roll out more and more base stations and they'll need more and more lease line. And even if they're not successful, to be honest, wherever 3G they put on will generate a huge amount of data capacity, which will mean a lot of lease line capacity. And that will grow year on year, and we're seeing it around the world. So what was critical for us was to make sure we got a commitment from them to be using us. And that's what we did. So we've taken a short-term pain, but it's a small number, on the basis of guaranteeing a continual revenue stream for the next few years.
That
in terms of web TV, maybe I'll pass over to Eram.
Okay, regarding web TV, this is Eram Demirjan again. Our web TV offer is on top of our ADSL offer. What we are offering, actually, I can explain in three levels. You are paying a 1 lira for TV Boo per month, and then you get 69 streaming channels, all the major Turkish channels, plus international channels you can have. Those are streaming channels. And then in this price, follow-up TV is included, which means we are recording on our servers 11 channels programs for 1 week. So you can watch an important series for you, or a news program, or anything you want, for the next 1 week, wherever you are, whenever you want. And then In the second level, you pay another 3 lira where you reach a selected video on demand. That includes some documentaries, some movies, some series as well. And then we have also a wide library of video on demand, about 1,500 movies included, movies and other content, which includes series like Top Gear of BBC, or documentary from National Geographic, or blockbuster movies. And then you pay per movie you buy, and the price differs from 2 lira to 5 lira, depending on how new is the movie. So there are 3 levels of web TV that you can use. And then we'll be opening, of course, new movie channels, both streaming movies and also additional video on demand. And the target is to refresh 15% of the whole video on demand content every month. So you'll be watching new movies or new content every month.
Thank you. That's excellent. With the first layer, I assume it's all free to air, so you're not paying anything for content. And I guess from the second level on and the video on demand, that's when you'll start paying for content. Is that correct?
The first level, you are paying 1 lira per month.
But you as a company are not paying for that content.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, you're right. Primarily what we're doing, of course, you need to consider that there's also the usage costs to the customer. I mean, the 1 lira is basically a top-up subscription. But in the end, it depends, obviously, how much they're watching. And this is motivating people further to move into, obviously, the unlimited offers. Or, obviously, since the per line is going over the 11 giga now across the whole base, you know, primarily what we're pushing for is providing very low cost per giga for customers to enjoy high capacity with us. So this is another, if you like, advantage from the TV boost side. On the strict content side, the formulations are exactly as you indicated, that we end up with a revenue share with the content provider, but at worst case, if we want to push it to the customers, at least we recover the cost. So that's our model here. We're not basically dumping it.
Oh, that's excellent. Can I just on the leased line, just one follow-up question. You said in March, April, you signed a deal with Videon, with Vodafone and Avia on the leased lines. Did I get that correct? Because it sounds like, therefore, we're going to probably see another decline in revenues in the second quarter on leased lines. Does that make sense?
No, because it was backdated.
I see. Okay, so it's
backdated
to the start of the year. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Thank you very much.
It already, of course, you know, came down, as you indicated, but also these operators are going to be needing more capacity for their 3G, so their usage will also increase. So the idea behind our discount is basically that we should be revenue neutral on the assumption of, you know, reasonable increase of demand from our customers. And both of these deals are 7-year deals, so the discounts are relating to the duration, because we offer 3 or 5 or 7 years, and the volume of money that is committed to us, which obviously provides for higher discounts the more they utilize from our network.
It sounds very good. Is Turkcell also signed up to this, by the way?
It's been offered to Turkcell, and we are awaiting signature. We will see when board approval. Turkcell are awaiting for their own board to approve. I think it looks like a 3-year deal, but when their board approves, we're ready. We don't need board approval. We'll sign it straight away.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Alexander Balakhnin. Please go ahead with the question.
Hi again, that's Alexander Balakhnin from Goldman Sachs. Very quick question on your dividend policy outlook. Can you elaborate on how you will be thinking about your dividend payout going forward? Thank you.
Yeah, our dividend policy, we've always said, is at the moment, it's all based on, in Turkey, the regulations are you pay dividend based on profit. So we take the net income and then take off the legal reserves. Now, what we've said is that the intention is to continue 100% payout, but of course, it's always up to the shareholders to make that decision, and they make that decision every General Assembly. But so far, they've always not gone for the 100% payout, and our expectation is that it will continue to be so, at least in the near future. And as we said to before, in terms of OG Telecom, they've got they're highly leveraged for this, so they do need to see that dividend stream keep coming in each year. And that's a good reason why the 100% dividend should stay for the next few years at least.
And do you expect any changes in terms of the regulation which would allow you to make share buybacks?
I think the situation there is I would expect it to come in the future. I would expect the CMB rules to be changed to align to that, but it's going to need legislation. I think the new privatizations of energy companies will help, because energy companies will be dividend yield companies, and therefore they'll need the security. And the security comes really from a cash-enabled dividend rather than a profit-enabled dividend. So I think what we'll see is the CMB market will become more heavily weighted towards energy, and it will have its own drive towards moving the regulations towards a more cash-based dividend payout basis. But at the moment, the legislation doesn't allow it. But our expectation is, yes, it probably will happen, but when, we don't know. The head of CMB thinks it will happen. We've just got to see.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
We appear to have no further questions at this point, sir. So I hand the conference back to you.
Thank you. This now ends the conference call. Thank you very much for participating. Hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.